WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. After the election, President Biden extended an invite to President-elect Trump for a transition meeting. The White House today saying both will meet in the Oval Office on Wednesday. Calmer winds today in Southern California helping fire crews gain ground against the mountain fire which broke out in Ventura County north of L.A. More than 200 structures destroyed and 20,000 acres burned in just a few days. Joe Schaff lost a home in a previous wildfire. This time, his house is still standing and he says neighbors, though, aren't as lucky.
We lost our house in 2017 and we didn't come back. This time we wanted to come back and try to save it.
Fire dangers on the East Coast, too, due to dry conditions. A brush fire broke out in Brooklyn. That's led to smoke air quality alerts in New York City. The World Championship of Pickleball, the nation's fastest growing sport, taking place in Texas this weekend. The best pickleball athletes are competing in singles, doubles, and mixed double events. This is ABC News. Police in Amsterdam are still investigating after the outbreak of violent attacks on Israeli soccer fans, Dutch's prime minister, and Israel's leader calling it anti-Semitic, with fans targeted and beaten. ABC's Britt Clinett is in Tel Aviv with more.
Video circulating online showing a man being chased down. Another video showing someone being attacked in the street, and what appears to be the person behind the camera shouting, "That's Gaza," while throwing firecrackers as he attempts to run away. More than 60 people were arrested, 10 of them are still being held. Dozens were injured, several hospitalized with their injuries.
Officials in southwestern Pakistan say a suicide bomber detonated explosives at a train station today, killing more than two dozen people, including staffers and soldiers. More than 60 others were injured. It happened while passengers were waiting for a train and was caught on video. Authorities say they still don't know who was responsible. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Progressive presents Employee of the Month. Small Business Edition. Today's recipient from Michaela's Mobile Spa, Michaela! Michaela got a quick business insurance quote from Progressive and chose from over 30 customizable coverages. Sure, it helps she's her only employee and does literally everything, but while others would rest on their laurels, Michaela was hard at work saving big. So take that, hypothetical other employee who doesn't exist. Be your own Michaela. See if you could save in as little as 7 minutes at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Coverage is not available in all states or for all vehicles and coverage selections.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. You can find it anywhere at the WGBW website, WGBW.fm. From the lakeshore to Lake Winnebago.
Door to Fond du Lac counties.
Northeast Wisconsin is special for many different reasons. I'm Lisa Hale.
And I'm Terry Barr. Family and fun.
Safe communities and friends. We're featuring all of it as part of New Wisco Weekend, a news magazine show just for you, and highlighting what makes the Fox Valley and Green Bay area a great place to live.
Join us.
New Wisco Weekend, Saturday mornings at 8, Sundays at 11 on WGBW and WISS and the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson. This was our first election with Wisconsin's new maps, and experts say they made a difference. Here's Judith Ruiz Branch.
Although Republicans still have the upper hand, their supermajority is quashed, and Democrats made some key gains in the Wisconsin legislature, which they believe puts them in a better position to gain chamber control in 2026. Political scientist David Helpap with the University of Wisconsin at Green Bay says this lays the groundwork for changes in future policy proposals.
As districts become more competitive, it makes it more difficult for those who are elected officials in those districts to really propose policies that are too far left or right of center, simply because they know they're going to have to answer to voters that are more center than they used to be.
He says the new legislative maps leveled the playing field for legislators in a way that Wisconsin hasn't seen in more than a decade. Until Governor Tony Evers came into office, Republicans had free rein in choosing which policies to push forward, Helpap adds. But Evers changed that dynamic overall, most recently with the new legislative maps. One of the biggest upcoming policy issues is the next state budget. From K through 12 education to funding local government, the UW system, and corrections, Helpap says that's where Wisconsinites could see the impact of these changes the most, and the dynamic will be different.
There's no doubt that Republicans still have the majority and they can sort of proceed in that fashion. But I think perhaps some folks will be thinking about the next election cycle and maybe the implications of specific decisions that they'll be making during this budget process.
For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tome Olson.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, partly sunny, highs in the mid-50s. Some showers tonight with a low of 46. Showers in 53 for Sunday. Sunday night, mostly cloudy, a little breezy, lows around 45. For Monday, mostly sunny, 53, and 50 for Tuesday.
It's 51 at our studios.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we continue looking for California guy Eric Hovde, and we'll hear from Mr. Global Matt Randolph, oil and gas expert. He's fantastic. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Cripescast. This is the podcast where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest. I'm your host, Charlie Behrens, and here is this week's episode. And also, we are presented and powered by Everlight Solar. Folks, welcome to the Cripescast. This week, my guest is Kathleen Madigan. You've known her from her 30 years of doing stand-up, just a staple of the comedy industry for so long. She's currently on the 2024 Potluck Party Tour. She's got six comedy specials, shooting her seventh in 2025 in Milwaukee. She chose Milwaukee for a special with, I think is very special for someone from Missouri. You know, but she and I actually had a lot in common. We both grew up in big Catholic families. She loves the Midwest. She loves fishing, small towns, casinos. I really enjoyed talking to Kathleen. She's the kind of person that you I had never met her before this interview. And she's the kind of person that I feel like I've known forever. So it was just such a treat, such a joy to talk with Kathleen. And yeah. I hope you guys enjoy the conversation. I think you will. Before we get to that, we are still, of course, raising money for Doctors Without Borders. You can check them out, doctorswithoutborders.org, or you can follow me at Doctors Without Borders. And ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, here is my conversation with the great Kathleen Madigan. So how you been?
I've been good. Good. Busy. Working. Every weekend. I'm looking forward to a week off.
What do you do on your weeks off?
Well, I need to reorganize my fantasy football team for sure.
What's going on with it?
Well, I'm winning, but there's just too many people hurt. And then I wake up on Tuesdays and go, oh my God, I got to do all this stuff. And then I think, what if this was like real? You know, what if I was the coach of a team where all this actually happened? And then, I mean, it's not even real, but I just haven't had the right amount of time to do that. That's what I would do. And then I would golf and I would go fishing because now it's fishing time. I want to go fishing.
I definitely want to talk about fishing.
Okay.
But at first I just want to touch on that fantasy football thing. Do you feel like with your experience in fantasy football that if given the chance, you could step into a role of coach of an NFL team? If given a chance?
Well, no. No, I don't really know anything. I mean, I feel like I could maybe help, but see, I don't understand how they know all those plays and how they memorize all that stuff. I'm just like a hack. I watch every game, but I don't understand. Like when they, I understand Dallas doesn't have a running game. I get that. Like you know, I watch First Take. I love Stephen A. Smith because he hates the Cowboys as much as I hate the Cowboys. So I watch that. But really, I don't hate the Cowboys. I hate Jerry. It's Jerry. Yeah, it's just Jerry.
Jerry is, he's the epitome of a guy who feels like you can just buy the American dream and then that's it. You know, that's kind of his vibe. Like I remember they're trying to figure out who's America's team and it was between the Steelers and the Cowboys and the Packers. And I'm a Packers fan. So it was like the Packers there, it's a team owned by the people, you know, and the Steelers, it's like badass sort of, you know, rust belt, sort of been through some stuff. And then it's the Cowboys. It's like Jerry just had a lot of money and said, I want a football team, you know?
Right.
It's like,
I also think it's that he I'm always amazed by people who think they are definitely smarter than everybody in the room, even while this whole scenario is playing out where you're clearly not. But yet he's still like, he walked into that locker room before anybody last night. Get out of the locker room, dude. Like, Mike McCarthy, you can't. If you're Mike McCarthy, you just had to know that. And then it makes me not respect Mike McCarthy, because I think the only person that could tell Jerry to just f off would be like a Bill Belichick.
Right.
Maybe. And that's a maybe. I still think. Did you see him land his helicopter at their practice last week, Jerry?
No, I'm out of the loop on how much of a D-bag Jerry Jones is. I did not know.
Well, I mean, you know, what are you doing? It was last week. If you go on Twitter, just put in like helicopter Jerry Jones, it'll come up. They're trying to have a practice like normal people.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jackie Jackstraw flies in and lands and stops the practice. It's like, I feel sorry for Cowboy fans, because you're stuck with him and his son looks like him. They're like Russian dolls. They never stop. It's a whole box of Jerry Joneses. Even the grandkids. I'm like, oh my God, they're little blonde square headed things too. It's like, it'll never end until the family sells the team.
And do you think they're actually going to do that?
No. Not anytime soon that I've heard of. And I think the son sits there with him week after week, and it's the same person.
Yeah, that's not a good deal. I'm trying to find this oh my God, this is obnoxious. I'm just watching this helicopter clip right now. What the hell? Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah.
I mean, it's tough when you have that much money, because you can sit there and say, should I take the helicopter over there? That'll show them I mean business.
Right.
When in reality, you're so disconnected from reality that you don't even know that that's like
a disturbance. You're just disrupting crap. And it's going to be, here he comes. It's going to take an hour out of the day. Like, here he comes. Then he lands, and then he's got to bullshit with everybody. And then he's got to take off again. You can't be like running routes around a helicopter while it's on.
No. In fact, that's very dangerous. You can get sucked up into that.
Yeah, exactly. And that's all he needs is one less player.
Right. Yeah. Those helmets are good for concussions, apparently better, but they do not stand a chance against a helicopter blade. That's for sure.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
So that's what I will be doing on my week off, trying to find a better running back.
Good. Good for you. Fishing?
I'm going to be fishing and then maybe golf with little Brian Dorfman. Do you know Brian Dorfman, who owns Zanies down here?
I do know Brian.
He's my little friend.
Yeah.
Yes. He's a diehard golfer until it gets below 40. Then he chickens out.
Tell Brian to just get a big coat, you know?
He's for a hockey guy who played hockey his whole life, he has no tolerance for cold weather.
Tell him he's got to wear more than that hoodie that he always wears.
The same hoodie over and over. I'm like, dude, you're 57. Can we just get you a different hoodie? Can I get you one from some fancy golf course or something? No.
He's like the Bill Belichick of comedy club guys. You know what I mean?
He said he had to go to a wedding last week. And I'm like, I hope it's dress casual attire, because I don't even think he owns anything else. Yeah. I can't picture him at all, like in a sport coat or a suit jacket or no. In fact, I should ask him. I want to see pictures of what he wore. Lululemon golf pants and some sort of fancy hoodie. Yeah.
He's a great guy. He's a great dude.
And he's a good golfer. And he's fun and he's fast. So that's why I like golf. Yeah, he plays fast.
Nice.
Like, let's go. Yeah.
Yeah. I used to be a caddy, so I know.
Oh, wow.
I know how to play fast. I do not play good. I play very bad, in fact.
That fast is the most important thing.
Yeah, I'll just sometimes just pick it up and walk.
Why not?
You know,
right?
No one even cares. That's the thing with golf, though. It's like you get out there to relax, and as soon as you're out there, you're like, they're coming up on us. You know, they're halfway through that hole. You know, and then it just ruins. Like, it can ruin like 6 holes of your relaxation time.
Yeah, it's better to just let them go. But then you look behind them, and then there's another group behind them, and you're like, what's the point of letting them go? Because there's just going to be another group up my ass. But that's only – I don't really have any friends that play slowly anymore. And if the sand isn't perfect, I'll just throw it out and go, you know what? Professionals don't put up with this shit. Why would I put up with a muddy sand trap? That's bullshit. I just throw it out.
You just – oh, throw it out of the sand trap.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that was an option.
Why not? I mean, would Tiger Woods play in a mud hole? No. Well, why does Kathleen have to? I just throw it out. That's how we go faster, though. There's no reason to spend 18 shots in a mud hole bunker when you could just throw it out. And, you know, if you want to give yourself a stroke for doing that, do it. But if not, play on.
I feel like golf should maybe be reimagined. You know, like there's 18 holes. Okay.
That's too many. Yeah.
That's too many. Like, and everybody's up your ass to get done with it fast enough. But what if you just did like, I think 4.5 holes is the ideal amount of golf.
Oh, I was going to go 12. I was going to go 12.
Oh, so I'd say 4.5. You say 12. We'll meet in the middle, like 9 3/4. I can't do math.
All right.
You know, but why 18? Does anyone know the history of that? Like who thought that would be?
No, I don't know. Maybe they just had so much land in Scotland. They just were like, just keep going. And it was the rich people. So they had no jobs. So you had all day. Like
that's
it was only they're super rich that played it, like a king and his little court of people. I think they just had the time. And what else? They didn't have cable. They didn't have football. There wasn't really much else to do in 1490.
Right. Yeah. Well, probably fight some wars somewhere, but you know, I mean, I don't know when Braveheart, I don't know exactly what year that took place. Probably like well before, well after. But even the kings, they weren't getting out there and doing that.
I don't know. No, they weren't going. No, not until it got super weird. And then they probably didn't go either. They were playing golf.
Yeah. And nobody ever really saw a king up close back then anyway. So they probably just sent somebody with kind of messed up teeth and a good crown, a good head holder, and put a crown on them and sent them on a big horse. No one was going to look that close.
No, there'd be no way somebody saw an oil painting of that guy. No way.
Yeah.
Because the oil paintings of that guy were in the castle and you're never getting in the castle anyway. So the only people that really knew what he looked like were his family and maybe 20 friends.
Right.
So foreign dignitaries might have known, other kings. That's why when Greg Norman said he was going to change the game of golf, I'm like, well, you know, we kind of made up our minds on that in 1490. I don't really think you can come along in 2024 and say this is now golf. No. Now you can adjust golf as we know it, like you're saying, but to change it to where all the things that live golf is and isn't, no, it's too late. No, Greg, it's not going to work. It's not working. I didn't think it would work and it's not working.
It's sort of one of those things where like, you know how like they say we have a hard time with technology because we haven't evolved. We evolve slower than the technology. It's kind of the same thing with golf. Like we've been expecting to like evolve to like a Scottish king for all this time, and nobody's even close to that place in their life, you know. So it's
maybe Trump because he has his own course,
and that would actually make sense. That would make sense. Yeah, that guy for sure can play golf all day, and I think. Sometimes he does. And
nobody's on his ass because the Secret Service makes sure that like there's no foursome behind him with their hands on their hip going, come on, man.
No. I mean,
he's the only one that beat. Well, maybe Tiger. He has his own courses. He can do that.
Yeah. But, I don't know. Is he good at golf? I don't even know. I see.
I think he's okay. But I mean, I've seen videos of shanks of his, like he's good enough for the weekend, you know, but is he like good? Good. I don't think so. No, I think they just go get that ball and bring it back to him. I mean, if that's good, then he's good. Like if you want to lie about your score, he always says he won his club championship. Right. Cause you own the club and you said so.
So, you got a big family and I got a big family. So we got that in common. We both grew up Catholic and we got that in common. So we got a lot and both Midwest. So you consider Missouri Midwest, right?
I do. But that's what I love about the Midwest, because the Midwesterners are asking other Midwesterners, what is the Midwest?
Right.
Like when the Dakotas put themselves in our group, I'm like, really? You guys think you're... I never even consider them when I say the Midwest. And sometimes I have a problem with Ohio. It's a little easty weasty for me. I think of the line we are in, the Minnesota, Wisconsin, Iowa, Missouri, Illinois. Illinois.
Yeah.
And then I don't know that whole strip of North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, Kansas. To me, you guys are, once you left Kansas City, you're now in a plains state. Mm. Like that's the plains to me. That's not the same. But then I would feel bad if the Dakota people didn't include Missouri. So I don't want to make them feel like shit that we don't really think they are. But like people, this is the craziest thing of what people on the coast think of the Midwest. Like I told Comedy Central this 100 years ago when they had those half hour specials. I didn't know you could design your own set. Nobody told me that. So they just saw that I was from Missouri and put like a wheat field with a silo and a windmill deal as my set. And I was like, huh, that's not really like St. Louis or Missouri, but okay. I mean, I didn't bitch about it. It kind of made me laugh, but like that's Kansas.
Yeah.
To me, that's a plain state. Like that's Nebraska. I think we should have a meeting of the Midwesterners where we all decide like some sort of conference and make it right in the middle, which would probably be like Des Moines. We should go there.
Yes.
And decide who counts, who doesn't, who would like to be removed, who would like to stay. Ohio, do you want to be part of the East Coast? Or I think they think they're from the Midwest.
Ohio does. I mean, look, Ohio, let's start with Ohio. Ohio is a very weird one because you have part East Coast, part Midwest, part South. And you hear Southern accents in Ohio all the time. I think it is pretty Midwest. It's just a bizarre one. I just did four shows in Ohio this past week. They all definitely think they are Midwestern, and I think rightfully so, but there is some weird stuff going on here, you know?
Well, it's that close to Kentucky at the bottom, and Missouri is that close to Arkansas at the bottom. Like, if you ask anybody south of St. Louis, I would think they would say they think they're Southern. But if you go St. Louis, Kansas City, or North, we all say we're Midwestern. And in the Civil War, they were. I mean, we were a divided state. And we just beat the shit out of one another. And we never even got involved in the larger conflict. We just beat each other up.
Missouri has such an interesting history with that.
Yeah, fight local. That was the bumper sticker. Fight local. Yeah. just go 12 miles south and beat the shit out of that guy. And come back home. It's very confusing. And it's always amazing to me how close Ohio is to Kentucky. And then when I go across the bridge to Covington, there's that awesome area down by the river with the big old grand like Southern homes. It looks like you're instantly transported to the South.
Yes.
And I'm like, well, I would live here because the taxes are cheaper. And there's these beautiful Southern homes with river views and like, but Ohio people seem to feel against that. Like they'll stay in Cincinnati before they. And then Ohio gets so close to Pennsylvania that now you're an East Coast area.
Well, and see, I gotta say, there's some places in Pennsylvania that feel sort of Midwest, though, you know?
Well, Pittsburgh does. Pittsburgh feels very, very working class. I mean, now it's gotten a lot of upgrades. I think Pittsburgh is like one of the best kept secrets in the whole country. The museums, the Andy Warhol Museum, you can walk around downtown, you can walk over to a game. It's a great downtown. I think it's totally... Maybe they want to keep it a secret, but they need if they had a really good PR department, they could get a lot more tourists for a weekend. Midwest people that would go, hey, like my sister and her friends are always like, well, we need a weekend trip. Where should we go? And then they'll ask me and I'm like, Pittsburgh. And they're like, yeah, okay. Do you have any other ideas? I'm like, no, listen to me. Trust me on this. You'll have a blast. It's great. There's a million things to do, but Pittsburgh seems Midwest to me. Yes. Even though it's kind of not.
Yeah, it's almost like sort of the East Coast, you know, had a love child with the Midwest while Canada sort of cucked. It's a weird mix and hodgepodge there, you know.
Yeah,
and I do like the bridges.
The bridges are great. Yeah. And for people who are like, before we had phones, when I would have to go there for the Funny Bone or whatever, and I'm not really good with directions. The thing is, they painted all the bridges different colors, which is so smart because they just go find the pink bridge, Kathleen. Well, I can do that. I can do that. Like if you go to other cities, they all are the same color. I'm like, finally, somebody went yellow, make it yellow. And then people will understand. Poor bad drivers will get it. It was very helpful. And they're pretty at night, too. And then there's an incline thing you can take up to the Mount. I think it's called Mount Adams, right? You go up that thing.
Yep. Yep.
And then there's like this cool little, I don't even like jazz bars, but there were a couple up there that were just super fun, like weird, like funky. Like I couldn't even. Yeah. It's a wonderful town. People should go on a little vacation
recommendation. Yeah.
Yeah. For Midwest people that want to drive somewhere or even fly, take a Southwest quick flight. It's a great, but people forget about it.
Totally. So a lot of untouched gems that you kind of find touring around. What do you think about Indiana in this Midwest conversation?
I don't know where to put it. I feel like it belongs to the East, but it doesn't.
Really? No, yeah, it's right there.
And they're far. It was like far, a lot of farmers. And I mean, Indianapolis is on its way. It's getting cool. I don't know. I feel like because they were farmers, there's not a ton of people compared to like Ohio. Ohio, we could go in one weekend. I could work Cleveland, Columbus, Cincinnati, Akron, Dayton, and none of them would even affect the other shows. Yeah. Like they're all their own thing. But Indiana, you're kind of going to run out after Indianapolis, then Bloomington, maybe.
Bloomington, Evansville. You can do
Evansville.
That.
Yeah, but none of those are going to be people wise as much as Ohio's like fourth choice.
No, Ohio's.
Yeah.
So many people. You ever played Van Wert, Ohio?
No, I don't even know where that is.
Oh, it's in Ohio. I know.
I'd never ever been to Marietta, Ohio. Do you know where that's at?
No.
I didn't either. It's about 2 hours south of Cincinnati.
The city you were at before?
Cincinnati. Yeah. But it was the most adorable downtown, but it was like a Hallmark downtown with a little bit of meth. There was just a little bit of meth.
Just a scotch
in.
Of meth.
Yeah. But it was cute. It was, and the show was great. And they all have one old theater that's just awesome. That's like from the early 1900s, and they all have the same history where they're like, oh, we opened in the 20s, and then it all gets to the 70s, and they all turned to porn for a solid decade. Yeah. And then they came back in the 80s, they got funding from somewhere, and then restored them all, and now they're all back, like, with regular shows.
That is hysterical, because that is the exact trajectory of every theater I feel like I've ever played in the Midwest, you know?
Everywhere, too. It's the whole country. I mean, even California, whatever, they're like, then the porn thing. And I guess we didn't have cable, and we didn't have the internet. So if you wanted to see porn, you had to go to a theater, which is kind of an upgrade for what is not really an upgraded thing, per se. It's not like the opera. I'm gonna go watch some porn at this beautiful theater, and but they all have every tiny town that has a main street has some sort of theater, and it's usually the smallest ones are like 700 seaters, so they're not small. Most are 1200 to 1700.
They're similar to churches in a lot of ways. If like, you're like, holy, like you look at the architecture of these churches and these theaters and you're like, where the hell did this money come from? And you're like, cause we don't build stuff like that anymore. We don't build beautiful churches anymore. We don't build beautiful theaters really. I mean, to a degree, but not like the way they did, you know?
It seems like there was a rich person always involved in the town.
Okay. Okay.
Like each town had some rich guy or lady that would just then benefactor all the money. And then boom, it appeared. And then that person ends up dying, you know, and then how do we keep it going? Because Frank with all the moolah is gone. If his kid ain't going to give us the money, then I think they all kind of went a little nutty. They turned into movie theaters after live stuff. like when movies came out, like the 50s, 60s, and then the 70s porn thing. I think it's that they just didn't have any money. I don't know. Yeah, but there's a lot of them.
I'll tell you this. If there was a history documentary on theaters in America, like small local theaters, I'd watch at least 45 minutes of it. That's how interested I am in this conversation right now.
I would too.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. After the election, President Biden extended an invite to President-elect Trump for a transition meeting. The White House today saying both will meet in the Oval Office on Wednesday. Calmer winds today in Southern California helping fire crews gain ground against the mountain fire which broke out in Ventura County north of L.A. More than 200 structures destroyed and 20,000 acres burned in just a few days. Joe Schaff lost a home in a previous wildfire. This time, his house is still standing and he says neighbors, though, aren't as lucky.
We lost our house in 2017 and we didn't come back. This time we wanted to come back and try to save it.
Fire dangers on the East Coast too due to dry conditions. A brush fire broke out in Brooklyn. That's led to smoke air quality alerts in New York City. The World Championship of Pickleball, the nation's fastest growing sport, taking place in Texas this weekend. The best pickleball athletes are competing in singles, doubles, and mixed double events. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
The Bucks lose in New York. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks fell behind early and lost to the Knicks at Madison Square Garden, 116-94. Doc Rivers on what he was most disappointed in.
I would say just the offensive rebounds. You know, early on, I thought, you know, the first 8 minutes, we got stops on every possession. And then they got the ball back. I think they had 8 offensive rebounds in the first 9 minutes of the game. You know, they kept moving the ball. Then they shoot. They get a rebound. They get another rebound, and now we're walking the ball up the floor, playing slow basketball.
The Bucks will host the Celtics tomorrow afternoon, 2 o'clock. College hoops, number 18th ranked Marquette with an 82-63 win over the George Mason Patriots. Boys high school volleyball, Sussex Hamilton won the state title last night in 5 sets over Middleton. Tonight, the Hamilton girls team faces Divine Savior Holy Angels for the championship, 7:30 at the Rest Center in Green Bay. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, partly sunny, highs in the mid-50s. Some showers tonight with a low of 46. Showers in 53 for Sunday. Sunday night, mostly cloudy, a little breezy, lows around 45. For Monday, mostly sunny, 53, and 50 for Tuesday.
Currently, 53 degrees.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Tom, your thoughts.
I don't believe that people don't know who Trump is at this point, and they have willfully decided to ignore everything he has said in order to vote what they think is the most important thing. And that's what voting is all about. But you can't claim ignorance when it comes time that Trump is going to pull the trigger and do some things that are going to hurt you and your family. That's what's probably going to happen.
Yeah.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Brady joining us live via phone.
I tell the guys before every game, and honestly try to do it before every practice, challenge is going to come. This team is not just going to show up and allow us to walk all over them and win. Really what matters is how are we going to respond to that. And if you can adapt and use it as a learning opportunity, it's going to set you up to go accomplish darn near anything you want to.
I think there are a lot of people that need to hear that message today.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
It is absolutely disgusting for conservatives to suggest that because someone is poor or struggling, that they lack judgment. If anybody needs morality policing, it's rich folks, for crying out loud, not people who are struggling to put food on the table and keep a roof over their heads.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hey, folks, I'm Charlie Behrens, and you're listening to the Cripescast on Civic Media. Here's my conversation with comedian Kathleen Madigan.
I'll tell you this. If there was a history documentary on theaters in America, like small local theaters, I'd watch at least 45 minutes of it. That's how interested I am in this conversation right now.
I would, too. To see how they did the city. A lot of it's the city decided to save it, but that's taxpayers' dollars. But why not? I would, if you're like, hey, Kathleen, we're going to take 1,000 out of your 3,000 you sent in to fine. Yeah. Rebuild the theater. So cool. People come here. Yeah. That'd be great.
Yeah. I'd be okay with that too. I don't know. So, but you know, that wouldn't pass for everyone, but still you should always, I don't know, offer as an option. Yeah.
You know what we build now instead? We build sports stadiums instead.
That is true.
That's where the money goes. And if you don't build them, your downtown is going to go just to dog shit. It's like a gun to our heads. If you don't pay the ransom, your city's going to, I mean, they bring in so much money, the sports things, that, you know, I mean, St. Louis, we lost two football teams, and I can tell you it, you know, it has an effect on the downtown. I mean, great, we have the Cardinals, but all winter long, we don't have anything. Why would you go downtown?
What did it do to St. Louis when the Rams left?
Oh, it's terrible, because like all the restaurants and all the out of town people would come. Let's say the Bears are playing the Rams, you know, then the Chicago people would come and the hotels were full. So now we've got all winter long where those rooms aren't being bought. And then nobody's going to dinner. Nobody's going to lunch. Usually they'd make a weekend out of it. They'd at least come down Friday for set, because the game's on Sunday, you know, be there situated by Saturday. It's a big blow. I mean, I hate that they have that power, but they do. Yeah, and if your city loses it, it's a big old blow. Stuff will start closing. You'll see it all happen right in front of your face.
Yeah. They just did with the Brewers up in Milwaukee, where I'm from. And they were like, yeah, you guys got to put like, I don't know, 20 million or 20 billion. Who even knows? I couldn't even tell you which one it was, you know? And they're like, if you don't do it, we're sending your team like to friggin' San Antonio or something, you know? And it's exactly that. And then you got the politicians. They can't agree on much. But on this one, they were like, we should probably do this. You know, we don't know what are people going to do with all that tailgating energy all summer long if we don't.
Yeah. And you're getting tourists. That. My brother and his guy friends all just had a guy trip from St. Louis. They drove up to see the Brewers play the Cardinals. So there's five guys staying at the casino, and they're all going to spend tons of their spending money. And then they went to the Brewers game. Like, if you lose it, it's bad. I hate that they have the power, but they do. So like whatever they asked, I would just tell everybody, we got to do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even though it's kind of bullshit, because the ones that stand up to them, we did it. Well, I'm just here to tell you it didn't work.
Yeah. That's the other end of the train. You should negotiate with the terrorists in the athletics department, you know?
No.
Yeah.
So that's what we build instead of theaters. Now we build giant. In Nashville, they're building the Titans a new stadium, because they do kind of need one. I mean, the first time I went to a Titans game, I'm like, oh, wow, there's like college stadiums that are way, way bigger than this. And there's no seats in the end zones. It's just open air, and there's no roof, which is fine till like December. But you're not going to get a Super Bowl with no roof.
Right.
I wonder, like comics, we go into places and we're like, oh, this is a nice green room. And oh, they did all this stuff and it's really cool. And then you go to some dump where you're like, oh man, I think football players probably walk into the current Titans stadium. And they're just like, oh my God, look at that phone on the wall. What is that for? Like all this outdated it's fun to go, because I feel like I'm at a college game. and you're drinking beer outside when the weather's nice, it's awesome. But, you know, I'm not going to go watch the shitty Titans in the rain for to spend $100 to and $14 on a beer. No, they got, and Nashville's a boom town. Like, they got to do it. But it's, I don't even know, billions. I read the articles and then I'm bad at math and then it gets too hard. And I just know we're going to do it.
Yeah.
But you have to.
I'm surprised the Titans didn't just build one better, because they were like an expansion team. They came around what, like the early 2000s or something?
I don't know. It's been 20 years.
Yeah, something.
And they're still terrible. I mean, and then there's this. I should probably do a version of this in my act. There's this guy, Matt, and he works for the Titans, right? And sometimes if I buy StubHub tickets, it goes through the NFL system, so the NFL knows I bought two Titans tickets. They know I did it, and they have my phone number and they have my email, right? So every Monday, this guy Matt calls everybody on that list, I suppose, but he definitely calls me. I mean, we're on a first name basis now. And every week he calls to try to sell me season tickets. And I'm like, every time I watch a Titans game on Sunday, I'm like, oh, Matt's going to want to kill himself, because tomorrow he's going to pick up the phone and have people just yell at him. And I'm like, Matt, I would love to buy season tickets. If you can tell me we have a different quarterback I've never heard of, is there a new person? And he'll go, well, no, ma'am. It's still Mr. Levis, but we have a lot of hope. I'm like, well, then that's sad, Matt. You shouldn't have hope in Will Levis. He's terrible. But this guy's life, and this is like the third year in a row Matt has had this job. How long till Matt becomes a raging alcoholic or a heroin addict? You can't go into work and go, I have to call Kathleen again. Yeah, you do. You have to call like probably 80 other people on a list. And most of them aren't going to be nice and silly. I'm at least trying to make his day funnier, but he won't. He's so upset. It's about, well, today's a Monday. Oh, it's a holiday, though. He probably won't call till tomorrow.
Yeah.
Look forward to his number. I look at my phone. I'm like, ah, it's Matt.
That is such a great bit. Like the dude trying to push season tickets for insert bad team, you know? Right. That is so good.
And he has to do it on Mondays after the game, after a slaughter. I told him one time, I go, Matt, you know what a better strategy for you would be if you could tell your bosses? Maybe Thursday. Because we all have forgotten. Hope lives on Thursday. Because what if there's Thursday night football, Matt? And then we're all geared up like, yeah, the Titans can do this. We can beat the Colts. Sure, why not? The Colts aren't that good. They got old man quarterback. Let's do that. But Monday? Yeah. It's a terrible idea.
Come on. It's when the Monday morning quarterbacks are in full force. Are you a fan of the casinos? Is that your...
To work them or to be a person?
No, to be a... I take my grandma to the casinos, and the slot machines in particular is kind of what I want to talk about here. Are you a fan of the slot machines yourself?
Well, I'm totally over the top into video poker, but the new slot machines, and I mean these like anime ones or whatever, where there's like 50 lines, like I don't even know what's going on. And my mom goes, I go, Mom, I don't even understand what I'm going for here. She goes, I don't either. That's the fun part. I'm like, well, I'd kind of like to know what I'm rooting for. I do not like the new, I'm the lady that goes in and goes, don't you have an old school Wheel of Fortune?
Yes.
I don't want a digital one. And I know I'm just going to get run out of Dodge on this one, because every new casino I go to, that's all they have. And I just can't. I'm like, video poker, though, they can't really upgrade that any more than it's already been upgraded. So a video poker bar with like Sunday football on, it's perfect. Yes, I could be there. I mean, literally for hours and hours and hours. But so would my brother. So would my mom and dad. So would my sister. Like, everybody's all in on, and Missouri's got, well, a lot of casinos now, which is weird because we have that, but we can't bet online. You can't do DraftKings. You can in Tennessee.
Right.
But weed's not legal here, but weed is legal in Missouri, but you can't gamble. So you can be high, but you can't gamble. And here you can be a gambling addict, but you can't be high. It's so stupid.
It is.
But I mean, and I love the casino gigs too, because those people are usually in a good mood. They're excited to be at the casino. The casinos require no work for us. They're not saying, hey, get up and go on this radio station. They throw a billboard up. They spend money. And they don't seem to really, I mean, I sell the tickets, so I don't know what would happen if I didn't. I haven't seen that side of it, thankfully, yet. Probably just not book you back, but I mean, there's 9 million Indian casinos, and I'm not even exaggerating. Yeah. You just got to find them.
There is a ton of them. And I go, every time I have a casino show, my grandma, she'll call me and she'll be like, what's going on with this show? She'll come with her friend Lois. And I remember we went to this show at North Star Casino. We're out. I do my show. I do. I think I had two shows. So it was a late thing. I went to bed. I assume they went to bed. My aunt texts me at 12 saying, just rolling grandma up to bed. She was in a wheelchair, just being rolled up to bed. And she's like, me and Lois, my grandma's 86-year-old friend, we're going to go out and keep gambling if you want to come. And I was I'm good. I'm like wiped out. I'm tired. I found out they stayed up till 3 a.m. gambling.
Wow.
And I was like, you guys, like an 86-year-old woman and, you know, a 60-some-year-old woman, they were just partying it up. And it's those slot machines. Slot machines for like 65, 70 plus. In that age range, it's like TikTok for the younger generation. You know, I feel like it's got that amount, that same dopamine kick, you know?
And I've also seen the old people, like my mom came out, I did like 4 shows in Vegas at some, I think it was the Mirage. And she said, well, do you want to get up and have breakfast? I said, all right, what time? She goes, well, I was thinking about 5. And I'm like, what? 5 for breakfast? Mom, I don't even know if anything's open. Her theory is you have to get to the slots by 6 because they've been loaded all night and this is when it's really going to pop. And what's crazy, they have these strategies. What's crazy is if half the time she's right. Like there's these old people down there hitting royal flushes and then on their Wheel of Fortune, whatever, $1,000. Like they're just cleaning up our mess. That's what I feel like. And they're not necessarily wrong a lot of the time.
That's that's like talking about fishing. We got to get up before the bite, you know?
Right.
We got to be there right at the time. Yeah. And some of them tap the glass after they hit the thing. They tap the glass like this, you know? I don't know what that's for.
I don't either. There's a lot of weird superstitions, though. Like, I can't play next to anybody playing Keno. That noise literally will make my head explode. And they're never bothered by it.
No.
Like the video poker bar, a lot of those machines, you can change the game. So like if somebody comes up and plays blackjack, fine. That's not doing that. You'll be playing video poker, having a wonderful time. And then that Keno person shows up and it's like, oh my God, how is that not just making your head want to blow off? But that's when I'll move. As soon as a Keno person comes, I'm out. Yep. But that's more because I'm annoyed by the noise. It's not really a superstition as much as I am annoyed. So I did a casino in Riverside, Iowa. And my mom and dad, for like 10 years, they stalked my schedule for casinos that they could drive to. And then they would just show up for the weekend, which was fun. And I mean, it was fine. You stalk me all you want, whatever. They just go, we need a room. I'm like, no problem. I can get you a room. Well,
yeah.
And the Cardinals were that wasn't the World Series yet. It must have been the divisional playoffs. And I had my show and they're at the video poker bar. And I go, you guys, the show's going to, and it was like tied. I think we were playing Boston. It was like 2-2. Tony La Russa was the coach. It was that while ago, long ago. And my dad goes, well, your mom's got a hot machine and the Cardinals are tied 2-2. Is there any way you could do all your new jokes at the end? And I go, no, Dad, I'm not going to rearrange my act because you have a gambling problem and the Cardinals, I do it good. I want to watch the Cardinals too, but unfortunately I have to work right now. And I go, I don't care if you ever see my act. I'll do it in your room for you if you want. Well, I do feel an obligation. I said, well, don't. I don't care. I literally do not care if you, Mom, ever come in that showroom again in your lives. You know what's going on in there. It's the same shit, just more of it. So. They never came to the show. My mom's machine was good. And this is when I knew I had a gambling problem too. There's this older comedian, Kenny Rogers out of Rogerson. Kenny Rogerson out of Boston. And he's super fun. And we were at the MGM and there was a big boxing match when boxing was the thing, not UFC. It was like a Tyson fight against somebody out back. And I think it was when he bit his ear off and all hell went loose and there was shooting in the casino and I could hear it. It was really? At the MGM Grand. Yeah, it was at the MGM.
Same night?
Yeah, and Kenny goes, me and Kenny were at the video poker bar. Kenny goes, that was a gun, right? I go, yeah, but it sounded like way over there. It didn't sound like I feel like it's contained to the Wizard of Oz bar. There was this big bar called the Wizard of Oz bar. I go, I think we should keep playing unless it gets closer. Then, I mean, we had just gotten beers. I mean, it was, I already gotten like 4/8. I'm like, oh, I'm trying to go machine. I'm not leaving. I'm not leaving. So we didn't leave.
This is the same conversation when you're out in a boat, the crappies are biting and you hear thunder and you're like, I didn't see lightning yet. Right.
Yeah. It's way
over
there.
See the lightning. Yeah.
And then I would always think, is Stevie Nicks' song right? Thunder only happens when it's raining and then lightning something. And I'm like, I shouldn't be licking to Stevie Nicks for science. I'm like a cave lady that just knows nothing. I know nothing about any of that. I know I won't leave till I see lightning if the fish are biting. I'm not. Thunder could be miles away.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. By the way, I'm making these decisions in the worst boat a man imaginable, like a Miro craft, a full just a metal boat. My feet are in an inch of water in the boat at this point, you know, as I'm making these, like this isn't like a rubber lined or a plastic lined boat, you know.
But then I'd always think I have my old fishing tennis shoes on and the bottom's rubber, so will that stop it all? I don't know.
But if the crappies are biting enough, you'll roll the dice, you know?
Yeah.
What's your favorite fish to catch?
Bass. I mean, I love crappie fishing, like with my nieces and nephews, because we could just sit on the dock and pull out 100 of them.
Yeah.
But bass for sure. But I also, this is where I have my Midwest disconnect. I don't understand the fishing like in Michigan.
Yeah.
Or Wisconsin. Like, I don't know anything about pike or walleye. And I caught a pike in Scotland once and it was a fun fight. So I think that would probably be fun.
Yeah.
But we never, I don't know. I feel like that's where Missouri does get Southern. I mean, people are catfishing. I don't want to do that ever. Have you ever heard one actually meow? I mean, it's terrifying. that where they are on the dock just going meow, meow. I'm like, oh my god, they really do that. You know, the little fish for the kids, but like the boat I have is a bass boat. Like my brother-in-law's is more of a deep V, like he likes northern, like Canadian fishing and stuff. I don't understand anything about any of that. I would like to learn. I don't know how to fly fish. It's not really a thing in Missouri. Yeah. It looks fun, but it also looks like a lot of work. I mean, bass fishing, I'm in the boat, cast. I want to be casting. I don't like the sedentary. Like, I went striper fish. No, I didn't like that at all. Like, you just drive the boat. Well, and now you're cheating because you can see it all on GPS if there's a whole school of fish. Then you just drop your line and pull them out. I'm like, well, that was kind of cheating.
I first of all, I love bass fishing. I hear you on that. There's nothing more fun than, I mean, catching a bass. I mean, that's the fight is unmatched, but until maybe you get up to like a northern or a muskie, you know, and those are but the jumping and everything, like you don't need to catch a big bass to have it like just jump up and all that sort of stuff and have it be a fun fight. But I'm with you on are you talking about the live scopes where they like put those in and they're like, yeah, we got fish right there? Or are you talking about trolling?
Yeah, no, it's not trolling. You're actually in a spot now where the skill does come in. Like there's a lake in Georgia I went at Lake Lanier, and with this guy who knows the lake very well. He knows what he's doing. So he's got a striper boat And then he turns on a GPS and he thinks he knows where the schools of fish are. And we pull up, and if you could just see it on the GPS, if they're there. And then he helps you drop your lines, because I didn't know what I was doing. I mean, you catch on pretty quick, but, and then we all just catch a fish and we leave, because the school of fish leaves. And I'm like, well, the rest of the time, though, we're doing nothing, drinking, which is fun, but I'd like to be drinking and fishing.
Yeah.
I just feel like it's kind of not a lot of activity.
I'm with you. The game of fishing has changed, because you go out with these live scopes now where you get out there and you put this thing in the water and you're like, yeah, I can see it right there. And then you're like, cast right there. Right. And then you got the person who owns the live scope like critiquing your retrieve. You know, they're like, slow it down. No. I'm like, dude, I'm not playing a video game here. I don't know if you know this. I'm not really here to catch a fish.
That's we should start there. That should have been the conversation when I got in the boat.
Right.
Like, I just want to do stuff.
Yeah.
I want to cast the line, and you know, I'll take the sedentary stuff on the dock for crappie, because with kids, there's 90 million things going on of fixing their hook and they get the minnows. That there's always something to do, but the ones where we just, I don't know, even the trolling, deep sea fishing, I've gone a lot. I never know really what's happening.
Yeah.
I don't really care that I don't know, but like, all of a sudden the pole will go crazy. And then there's, you know, two guys coming to, even if it's you, not just cause I'm small. I mean, they're just coming to help. And I literally would have a cow could be on the end of that line. That's how much I don't know about what the f- I'm catching. I can pull anything out. And the surprise is fun, where you're like, oh, it's a baby swordfish. Look at that. But it's a lot of trolling and being sunburnt and drinking, which is fun. That's just not what I would prefer. I would take it over any other activity that day. But
I want to do a show called Fish Finders, where it's two people in one old shitty boat without any fish finders, and then
that'd be good.
Yeah. You have to film for a long time. It's really probably a podcast where you just barely ever catch a fish, you know? But I mean, you can catch a ton of you can catch a lot of fish that way. That's usually how I fish, and you do catch fish. It's just some days you catch nothing, but that's okay.
But that's usually the weather, I feel like.
That's certainly what I blame it on. Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever the weather is, I make it up. I'm like, the pressure changes, you know.
Well, it rained yesterday and now they're down. They don't want to come back up because they're afraid there's going to be another storm. I put so many thoughts in a fish's head that it like, if the fish could hear that, they'd be like, lady, it's just not that intricate.
I just
to me, I'm just not hungry. That's all there is to it. Yeah. And your lure sucks. I'm not falling for that. Get a different lure.
That's hilarious. So I want to bring this up before we end, and that's your kind of big Catholic family. Did you guys all grow up fishing and like spending time I guess you guys would be down in the Ozarks, right?
Yeah.
Lake of the Ozarks. Yeah,
that was the big. That's when I hear like my nieces and nephews, the older ones, they're like, oh, they're going on spring break to like Aruba. I'm like, wow, that really kicks the shit out of Lake of the Ozarks, I guess. Like, we never really left. We didn't even go fishing like in Illinois. I remember my younger brother said one of his.
Well, that's all the time we have for now, folks. But if you want to listen to my full interview with Kathleen, check out the Cripescast anywhere you get your podcasts.
So roll out the barrel and get the band brewing. Life's got you down, just keep her moving. It's on Wisconsin, the Badgers say it's the old Wisconsin Jubilee.
You know, sometimes when you're ice fishing, you put your foot into walleye hole and go ass over tea kettle and you think you're done. No. Gotta keep her moving.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, we're all about Madison as I welcome comedian Johnny Beaner back to the show, and then WMDX morning show radio legends John Peterson and Gordy Young join the show.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.